Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. Love a good old ragtime song. And we have in studio with us today Heidi Langenfeld. She is here to talk about the Pioneer Room, which is a wonderful place in City Hall that maybe you haven't been to or maybe you don't know about. We're going to learn more about it. But first of all, great to see you.
Good to see you too, Mom.
I always love it when you come in and you tell us about such interesting things, a lot of them having to do with history in Hastings. Tell us about yourself, though, Heidi. I don't know much about you.
Gosh, it feels like I've told you about me a lot of times.
I want to hear it again.
Okay. Well, I grew up on a farm outside of Vermilion. Lived in this area quite a bit of my life.
And what was your maiden name?
Reese. R-I-E-S. Reese. Yeah, so I lived in Vermilion as a young married person, and my first husband and I started the Stein House 50 years ago. So we're coming up on that anniversary on Friday.
Come 50 on.
50 years.
50 mm-hmm. years. Give yourself a ding on the bell
there.
I can't believe it.
Yes,
isn't that something?
Yeah. We were very young. We didn't know what we were getting into.
What were you getting into?
It was a mess. With six kids at home, insane. It was not a good time. It was not a good thing.
And was it always the same menu, or what was the Stein House like in those days?
The menu built. We worked with Dick Stoffel, who was the Hams Brewery representative, and he helped us a lot. I mean, he didn't give us things, but he gave us advice. He was very helpful. But of course, with Steinhaus being the name of it, it was a German themed restaurant. And so we had Rubens and Bratwurst and hamburgers and ham and cheese and that type of thing. But we kept adding. Then we got a fryer. People wanted French fries. And so we got a fryer and added chicken. And then we added onto the building and put in a bigger griddle with the fryers and started doing steaks and all that. So. But we only had it 3.5 years, and we sold it to Benazuski's.
3.5 years is that's like a lifetime, though, restaurant business,
yes.
Especially, as you said, with all your kids.
Mm-hmm. And they were little. They were young. So we had this crazy idea. My husband worked out of town for Northern States Power, and he was gone a lot. So we thought, well, we'd be right down the street from where we live. And we were never home. It was not good.
But it was such a great idea, mm-hmm. and the fact mm-hmm. that it still stands 50 years later is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Congratulations, 50
yeah,
years. I mean, that's a
years.
Really cool thing to yeah. not change the name to, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. obviously, you
yeah.
when you sold it, people realized the equity in your name.
Well, in the name of the business, and then the German heritage in that village and the surrounding villages. So
mm-hmm.
the snowmobilers made the business for us. It was a nice snowy winter. So, but that's a lot about me 50 years ago. And so now I'm back in Hastings.
So you're a city girl now.
Now I'm a city girl. And I lived in St. Paul and California in between. So I came back to my roots. And that sort of is a segue into the Pioneer Room, because a lot of what happens down there is people coming and looking for their roots, their families. They maybe don't live in this area anymore, maybe even not in this state, but often they'll either email Cindy Smith as a person that really is the head honcho at the Pioneer Room, but she couldn't be here with us today. But she'll get emails from people requesting information. Writers, people will be writing an article, a mommer, I'm forgetting his first name now, but he was a really like a daredevil pilot. His family was from this area, and so Cindy dug up a whole bunch of information for that person so they could write, I think actually wrote a book about Nick Mommer and his trick flying, and I should have remembered the name of the book so I could have told you about that, but there was a Mommer bar down on 2nd Street. You probably don't remember that.
I don't.
No, Daddy Mommer, they called him.
Daddy Mommer.
Daddy Mommer. Isn't that funny?
Well, there could be a whole side segue about all the nicknames in mm-hmm. Hastings. I know my father-in-law, Jim Sieben, he used to write down crazy nicknames of people.
Did he?
You
really?
Think about Doors, yeah. Spook Kavanaugh, he used to talk about. Just all these funny nicknames of people.
Yeah.
You know, Pinky McNamara.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And where they actually came from, these crazy nicknames.
Yeah, where are those names? That would be sort of a fun little article.
It would.
Or trivia stuff.
To, yes.
You know, what's interesting is on Facebook, I don't know if you're on Facebook at all. I doubt that you have time for it. We promote the Friends of Leduc and Historic Hastings, and we have a page on that. So there's all these other historic pages. There's like, you know, you're from Hastings if, and Hastings Tidbits, and then there's a whole page that does the rural area with Vermilion and New Trier and Hampton. And Bob Olson is a really good historian who's worked with Dick Darso and Ethel Thieling to set up the Pioneer Room. He has so many pictures, and so his father was a photographer of Hastings years ago. And so they post all these pictures on Facebook, and it creates all this people
buzz,
commenting back and forth about, do you remember this? And there's just sort of a sentimental
nostalgia.
Nostalgia about old Hastings, what it was like when we were kids growing up. And, you know, there might be more interest in general for that era that people can remember than going all the way back to the beginning of Hastings becoming a city and and first being organized and settled. Maybe only crazy historians go back that far.
Well, you know, when you think about the Roaring Twenties, it's hard to believe that was 100 years ago.
I know. Yeah. There are some people still alive, not that many anymore from 1920, but during the 20s, you know, they would remember. They're in their 90s, and some of them might remember the tail end of that. They sure remember
the Depression.
Most likely living through that, the Depression. And then even those of us that were born in the 30s, the Depression was still going on, but our parents, I think, felt the Depression, and so our lives were impacted by it even later because they kept living that frugal lifestyle. You know, my mother would save tinfoil and stuff. I still save it.
Because she knew.
Yeah.
She went through
that.
They
lived through all that.
Right.
Was, so there's, you know, when we look at history, there's so many different aspects of it.
So tell us about the Pioneer Room, because it is really, it's a room at City Hall.
It
and
is.
How long has it been around?
Actually, Hazel and Ethel and a lot of those people had all these boxes of things stored at their homes. And so when the city, when City Hall moved down to the old courthouse, Dakota County Courthouse, they dedicated a room for those historic documents. And so that was like probably 1992 or three. And they organized it and did such an enormously good job of setting it up so that items are cataloged and you know where to find them. And there are files that are biographical files. So you can come in and say you're looking for the Sebans or the McNearys or, you know, some historic family. We can go and find that file for you, and you can find obituaries.
The McNeary file, it will be very thin.
What?
The McNeary file will be very thin.
Oh, they might not have their own file. They might be in with the other MCNs.
The McNamaras have a big file,
McNamaras,
I have a feeling.
The McNamaras have their own big file, you bet. Yes. And so we have the biographical ones. And then we have all of the other the ones that are like the organizations, buildings that were in town, businesses, all of that type of thing. So those are all stored in what was originally the vault of the Treasury.
Oh, wow.
The Treasurer's Office. We have the Treasurer's Office from Dakota County Courthouse. So the first part is where the Treasurer and the Secretaries would have had set up and collect the money for taxes and all that. And then the back room is all the records and rare documents and everything that we have down there.
So people are continuing to give you things all the time, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Mm-hmm. We get family scrapbooks and really neat. One thing that we continue to look for are pictures, photographs, okay. more photographs. Even with the downtown, there are certain parts of it that we don't have any photographs of, which that corner of 2nd and Sibley, lots of photographs there.
Okay.
Of course, that's where everybody came in and approached this. That was the approach to the
Spiral
Bridge.
To the Spiral Bridge, sure.
We do have, thank goodness for Bob Olson's dad, a lot of pictures of Vermilion Street between 2nd and 4th before they tore all those buildings out for the middle bridge.
Right.
The bridge that was built in the 50s. And there's some really neat old pictures of those businesses. And so photographs are a really hot item. People love to see those old photographs.
And if people are cleaning out an attic or something and they come across some old photographs, don't toss them, right?
Don't toss them. And even if you have them and you don't want to give them up, you still have them. We can scan them and people keep the original.
Mm-hmm.
We just like to get them scanned and in our files.
Have you always had an interest in history?
Well, you know, in school I hated history because it was all about wars and dates. That's how I remember it. I was talking to Spencer about this because, you know, Spencer Johnson's students probably were never bored.
No, I don't think so because I had a son in that class, yes. Yeah. They adored him.
As adults, they still remembered Spencer Johnson's. When the LeDuc House opened, a lot of people came to see it because, you know, for years they were curious about it. And finally it was open. I can't even count on my hands how many people said, Spencer Johnson used to bring us over here and we would walk around the grounds and then he'd let us peek in the windows. And, you know, he just always had that way to it, you know, to connect mm-hmm. with the students and get them interested in history was more than just dates for him. But to go back to when I first started being interested in history was, I think my parents, because we would go for rides and my dad would take us and he showed us the old Donnelly House in Nininger. And my mother, we never drove by an old church that she didn't want to get out and go look inside. Back then they didn't lock all the churches.
Right.
You know, now they're always locked. So I guess maybe it started when I was younger, but it really blossomed and bloomed more when I was able to incorporate it more in my life and got a job here in Hastings at the LeDuc House.
What did you remember growing up about the LeDuc House?
Oh, we were always told that there was that tunnel that went from the Vermilion River to the basement of the LeDuc House, and it was for the Underground Railroad. That was the story. Of course, that isn't the case. That's mostly what I remember. Do you have memories of it?
You know, when I was growing up, it was not open to the public, and it was seemed like kind of a scary, mm-hmm. junky spot.
Yeah.
You know, it was an antique dealer
right.
for a while.
Yeah,
and
forever.
Yes, and mm-hmm. so, no, I didn't really have any fond memories like kids growing up today,
yeah.
you know, having the tours and everything that you offer at the mm-hmm. LeDuc.
I've done a lot of oral histories of people who are no longer with us, so it's great that we have those stories.
It sure is.
Marge Kane, who grew up in South Hastings, and her last name was Hild, I believe. Anyway, her memory of that was, and so many of those older people that I talked to said that they would always be on the opposite side of the street. They wouldn't walk on...
Because it was spooky something.
Yeah, it was spooky, and they always had that feeling about it being spooky. Carol Simmons owned it as the antique dealer for, you know, he moved in there in the 1930s, and then he bought it in 1940 from the LeDuc family, but he had his business in there until 1986. So all those years, he had his business going on in there, but it didn't look welcoming. He had great stuff, so people that collected and could afford to buy things from him would go in there. But the rest of the people just sort of, there was a mystery about it.
Right.
It was always, people talked about it being haunted. Many people still believe it is haunted. Did you ever grow up thinking it was haunted?
You know, I guess I didn't really think about the haunted piece. I just mm-hmm. thought it was kind of a spooky, unwelcoming place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was back then.
Yeah.
But it's so nice to have it open to the public
and
treated like a home, the home mm-hmm. that it was, a beautiful,
right.
vibrant place where people could mm-hmm. enjoy all sorts of celebratory things.
Right.
Yeah.
That's very true.
So tell us about the hours of the Pioneer Room.
Well, because it's totally all volunteer, the hours are only one day a week. Wednesday from 9:30 to 12 and 1 to 4. That's when we're open to the public. But if people are interested in researching, they can call and leave a message. Oh, I was going to bring that number. Well, they can just call City Hall and ask for the Pioneer Room, leave a message, and then Cindy will get back to them. Because now, you know, it used to be open 3 days a week, but when they cut back and it was no longer staffed, Cindy has continued to be a dedicated volunteer down there that all the time. She's always there. And during the winter, Shirley leaves and goes to Texas, but Shirley DeLaska's always there too. She's been a volunteer down to Pioneer Room for many years. And what she loves to research is she did a whole book on all of the people that served in the Civil War that lived in Hastings at some point in their life. And it's a huge volume. It's very good, very interesting. And that's how she does really detailed research. And so her latest thing that she has done is women in the military, starting from the very first. During World War I, there were a lot of people that served, women that served as nurses. And so she's looking at putting together and publishing this book sometime in the future about the women from Hastings who served in the military. What she's having trouble finding are women during the Korean War. I think she has some during the Vietnam, but the Korean War she's been having trouble finding.
So if people want to tell about their relatives or something, mm-hmm. they should call City Hall?
Yes.
And they could give that information?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
That would be great.
Right.
Boy, it's a fascinating place, and thank mm-hmm. you for all you do, because I know you do help people trace their roots and mm-hmm. really learn more about Hastings. Even if you're not on a hunt, I bet people come down and they're there for hours just pouring mm-hmm. through all the wonderful information there.
Yeah, we have a lot. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, we hope people take advantage of that. Heidi, thanks so much for coming in mm-hmm. and chatting with us. And again, the hours are Wednesdays, 9:30 to noon, and then 1 to 4. And if you haven't been to the Pioneer Room, it really is worth your trip. It's just mm-hmm. lovely.
It is.
It's just historic, and it just has such a great feel about it. Yeah. Good. Thanks for all
you
do. Good
thank
to see you, Heidi.
Yes, you too.
And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.